Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Sunday, 13th day of the month of Kislev. I hope that each of you had a great Shabbos. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And as always, please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. One note before introducing today's speaker, the Orthodox Union, in conjunction and collaboration with the Rabbinical Council of America and Yeshiva University, have worked together over the last several weeks to put together a tribute to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks Zatzal. The program is titled Our Mentor, Our Teacher, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, An American Perspective. It premiered today at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. There were some technical issues, but they have all been fixed since. To access and to view the program, the short program, 22 minutes long, is very, very worthwhile. You can access it at ou.org/Sacks. That's in Rabbi Sacks' last name, S-A-C-K-S, Sacks Tribute. That's ou.org/Sacks Tribute. There's also a link for it in the OU Today email. Definitely worthwhile. Please check it out today, or it will be up there every day going forward. You can watch it on demand at any time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Chanoch Oppenheim of the Charlotte Torah Center in Charlotte, New York, to share Dibre Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Oppenheim slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. It'll be followed by the Mishnah Berach, Lecholim, and Achenim. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Oppenheim to learn more about his wonderful community in Charlotte. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, welcome back to the OU Daily Call, Rabbi Oppenheim.
Naftali, thank you so much. As always, great hearing your voice, and thank you all for giving me the opportunity and merit to just share some words today. I was looking at the Haftarah for this week, Parshas Shalach, and just reading, so inspirational, the story of Avadia. Avadia was a prophet, and on the same hand, Avadia was a convert, didn't let his background stop him from doing anything, and ultimately he really stands up against the incredible wicked king and queen Ahav and Jezebel, and ends up supporting basically the last 100 remaining men that were keeping Torah as observant Jews, and just an incredible life and life story. And there's something about his life that caused me to think about a medrash that I came across a few weeks ago. And the medrash says the following. It says that there were two times Lech Lecha is used. The first time is where it says Lech Lecha in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. That would be Bereishis, Genesis 12:1. And right in the beginning, Abraham, Avraham Avinu, is given the task and the test of leaving his father's house, leaving his homeland, leaving everything, just put it all behind and go forward and trust God. And then there's another Lech Lecha, a little lesser known, which is at the Akedah, the next week's Parsha, at the binding of Isaac. And that would be Genesis 22, verse number 2. And over there, the exact same words you use on the way, Lech Lecha, go for yourself. And there's, what's the connection of these two? So the Medrash says, again, the first time Abraham's asked to leave his house, that's one Nisoyan, that's one test. And then the second time he's asked to actually sacrifice his only son, and that's a test. And the Medrash says, Ve'enan yodim ezimahem chavivin. And we don't know which of these two is more precious. And, of course, everybody asks on that, how is it possible to understand that? We don't know which one is more precious, which one is more valuable. Abraham, the ultimate lover of humanity, and obviously the lover, tremendous lover of his own son, to be asked to offer his own one son that he loves so much. how could you compare that in any way, shape, or form to just having to leave his home place and his father's house? I heard a beautiful explanation from Reb Shlomo Latorsky from Denver. There once was a Hasidic Rebbe in Denver who unfortunately was taken from us at a young age, and he said an incredible explanation of this. He said that the Nisoyan, the test of Lech Lecha, the first time Abraham being asked to leave his house, basically Abraham is told, run away from your past. Avraham Avinu, Abraham, like the rest of us, is a product. We're a product of our past. Our background, our family, our genes, nature, nurture, everything that has made us, who has made me, who I am at this moment. What is the Nisoyan, or the test of the Akedah, the test of the binding, the offering up of Isaac? Well, what was Avraham Avinu, what was Abraham looking for to the future? Everything that the Almighty had promised him, to be a great nation, there will be a great future, and this legacy of this ethical monotheism that he's given to the world, it would be through this son. That's what he thought. And so there's a whole future, and he's being asked to offer up this child, which was his whole future. So he's being asked, give up your future. And so basically, Tversky explains that the Nisayan, the test of Lech Lecha, is leave your past behind. And the Nisayan, the test of the Akedah, of the sacrifice, is put aside your future for a minute and be there in the moment with the Almighty, with God, with your Ribbono Shel Olam. We, at this very moment, are going through a test. What's the test? Am I able to live in this moment? Am I able to forget about all the silly mistakes of my past? Are you, as a person, able to not feel trapped by some of those bad life choices, by certain behaviors, by certain thinkings, by certain bad or maybe even toxic relationships, things that were unhealthy? Is a person stuck in the past? On the other hand, there are other people who spend their waking hours thinking, what will be in the future? I don't know. It looks bleak. What's going to happen? You hear it a lot now in COVID. And what's going to be? And so for us, Hashem is telling us, God is telling us, that the way that we are being asked to be, to serve as Jews, is basically to combine both Lech Lechos, both goings out. You have to leave your past behind and you have to overcome your future. And the only way to think about what I'm doing right now is, am I being the best Jew I can be at this moment? That's all I need to be thinking about. And that's all the Almighty wants from me. And I don't care what happened in the past, and I don't care what the future looks like. That's it. I was thinking that so much applies to all our leadership that we have found in the Tanakh. We see it in this week's parsha with Yaakov Avinu. He's fighting a malach. He's fighting an angel. How do you fight an angel? And yet, instead of saying, what's going to be? Let me just give up now. He fought to the best of his ability at that moment that was being expected of him. Avadia the same. He gave up his entire past, and his future did not look that great in this evil rule of Ahav and Yizebel, the king and queen. And yet, that's what is asked for us, and that is for us a chizuk. It are sources of inspiration that the Almighty wants us to live right now in the present, who you are, Hayom, today. And I don't have to be bogged down by past or future, just to live in right now, in the present, and how can I be the best possible Jew I can right now? We will go now to Tehillim. We're saying Psalms, and we will go to Psalm 23, Chaf Gimel. Mizmor leDavid Adonai roi lo echzor binos deshe yarbitzeni al meimenuchos yinahaleni nafshi yeshovei yanseni v'maglik tzedek l'man shemo gam ki elech v'getza malves lo irara ki ata imadi shivtecha mishantecha hema yenachamuni taroch lefanai shulchan neged tzurirai gishanta v'shemen roshi kosi revaya ach tov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chayoi v'shafti beveis adinoi li'orech yamim. We now turn to page to Psalm or Capital Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. Shilamalo Sesenai El Harim Ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitei Lamot Raglecha Al Yanun Shomrecha. Hine Lo Yanun V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomrecha Adonai Tzilcha Al Yad Yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeko v'yareach alaylo. Adonai yishmorcho mikoro yishmor es nafshecho. Adonai yishmor tesko v'echo ne'atavi ad olam. Go now to Psalm 130. Kuflamet. Shir hamalos mi mamakim krasicha adonai adonai shima bekoli tiena eznecha kushubos lakol tachanunai im avanos tishmoya adonai mi yamod ki imcha slicha leman tivarei. Kivisi Adonai, kivsa nafshi, v'libro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, meshomrim l'boike, shomru l'boike. Yerchel Yisrael, el Adonai, ki im Adonai achesed, v'harbe imo fadus. Behu yifdei es Yisrael mikol avonosav. And now we'll make a Mishra Berach, and there will be a pause, and everybody can insert those people that they know. All of us have someone who needs refuah shalema, a complete recovery, and at that moment when we pause, will be the time to insert those names into this prayer. Misha Berach, Avasina Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo. Hu Yivarech, Yirape, Es HaCholim. Bavur Shana Mispalim Bishlamam Bishkar Zer Kaddish Baruch Hu Yimalei Rachamim Aleihem Achimam Vasam Achzikam Achiosam V'yishlach Lehem Meheru Refua Shalema Min Shemayim V'chol Avara V'chol Gidag Dayan B'sof Shar Chol Yisrael Refua Zer Nefesh V'refua Zer Guf Hashla Bagalav Zman Kariv V'nemar Amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Oppenheim. I want to welcome you back to the program. And as we transition to the next segment of our call, first and foremost, how are you and your family and the community doing?
We're doing wonderful. Thank you so much, Naftali. Everyone, I'm sure, as all other communities are living through this and not just living, not just surviving, but living through it in many ways. We're able to reach out to more people. There are people who have moved away from the community that actually participate in many of our Zoom classes and other things. But as a result, obviously, it's a change for all of us. But we're really thank you for asking. We're living in it and using this as the opportunity, as I mentioned in the Dvar Torah, just doing what we need to do today and try to work with that.
Certainly so. And that's why I think your message today in particular was so apropos, as it really, one can get stuck in the past or thinking about the future, and really all we have in front of us is the moment right now. Isn't that how the old that old message that you can't yesterday? I'm gonna mess it up, so I probably won't go into it. The whole thing is that today is the present, and that's why it's a gift.
Right.
And so, whatever it is, there are others who are listening right now saying this is how it goes, but they're muted. So, anyways, let's jump in. I've had the great opportunity to spend time with you in Charlotte. But for our listeners who may not have had that great split, if you can give us some background, give us an overview of the incredible community that Charlotte is in general, and more specifically, the Charlotte Torah Center.
Sure. I feel like Charlotte, first of all, as a city, is, although for those up north, it might seem just like a little bleep out there, it's actually the second banking capital to New York, a thriving city with, depending on which study used, either always within the top three or four most moved to cities, usually, every day. So that's just the city in general. It's an exciting place to live. The Jewish community is a little smaller, maybe, than some other places, but growing. Our personal community is a growing community. We have really people from all walks of life. We do a lot of outreach here. And so outreach is, that's for families, that's for young families, there's young professionals, there's college students. So before COVID, you know, our Shabbos table is, you know, always 20, 25 people, with people from all backgrounds and all ways of life. So there's a bit of inreach and a bit of outreach. And that's, we have our minyanim and we have shiurim, that's our, classes, and really on all topics from Gemara, from Talmud, to Hashkafa, you know, Jewish ideas and philosophy, to really everything. And my wife runs an incredibly vibrant women's program here, and really has their own separate women's organization. So there's a lot going on, and we're keeping it all up during these times.
Sorry, a little technical glitch on my end over here. My apologies. Next question for you. You've had an unbelievable career in various stops, Aish as well. What motivated you? What drove you to go into the rabbinate, specifically to become now a pulpit rabbi?
Wow, great question. It's very interesting because originally, I had not planned on being a pulpit rabbi. My name is Chanoch, and that's from the word Chanoch, really. I feel that my name is an essence of who I am. That is where my passion is in educating. So that really began we lived in Israel, lived there 20 years, and that I was teaching in various institutions, including yeshivas and people, different institutions, different backgrounds, and ultimately in Eish HaTorah, teaching Gemara there. And, I had realized that we both my wife and I spoke about it, that we wanted really now to educate in a different type of way, educate in a community and help build a community. And that's really why we came back to America to do that and to really take on a new kind of challenge. When you're in Israel, people have traveled thousands of miles away to go there to learn. They're usually a bit more motivated. And sometimes that's not always the case when you're a community rabbi. Some various people want different things. So you really have to speak to people on their terms, meet them on their grounds. For some people, they connect in different ways just to being Jewish. And some who even connect in different ways to different parts of the Torah. And so really, both Sarah and I love the challenge of really being out there, relating to people where they are, and you know, kind of attempting to help lift themselves up, you know, to the wonderful gifts that the Torah gives.
Amazing, unbelievable, and you and your wife are a gift to the Jewish community and the broader Jewish community,
oh,
and
thank
really
you. Thank you for being
so helpful and resourceful to so many people. Last question for you for today. The world's changed so much. This call has changed so much since we began it back in March. In fact, and please correct me if I'm wrong, in that I believe the last time we spoke with you, which was the end of June, is the day that I actually pitched our callers, our wonderful listeners, to introduce this concept, this idea of having this interview at the end of the call. I don't believe you and I actually did the interview last time.
No,
I think we
no.
spoke about it.
No.
Right.
We,
so
we
you missed it by a day.
I don't ever recall the pitch, but okay. I'll go with it.
But so much has changed. And obviously you mentioned earlier how someone who lives in the community that now is able to participate by Zoom. And I think a lot of those, you know, technological, resources are here to stay. There's a shiur happening in the shul. Obviously in the future post COVID, we want people coming to shul. There's obviously a difference participating in person versus virtually, but I think those forums will continue to exist. Obviously now people are wearing masks, they're social distancing. When you think about your community, when you think about the broader Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate as we go forward in the Yirat Hashem very soon, we hope, for a post-COVID-19 world?
Well, I think one big communal change is going to be at whatever point this thing starts to end, because I think communities are going to have to look into themselves, meaning let's say a vaccine, you know, the vaccine comes out and it's wonderful. I think probably what's going to happen is there are going to be some people in every shul, maybe many people, who say, well, it hasn't been out that long. We don't know the side effects. So there are going to be some people who might not even want to do it. And then there are going to be other people who say, yes, we should, and therefore we shouldn't wear masks. And I think that we're going to need to continue to learn to live with each other and really appreciate that different people are dealing with this situation more. Someone who has a bit of anxiety, that anxiety has been heightened at this time. And therefore, perhaps we need to be a little more understanding in no matter what direction that person is going. And as things move forward, I think there's going to be a time afterwards that, like, as they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happened during COVID stays in COVID. Meaning, I think certain friendships were put on, you know, were squeezed a little. I just know from communal calls with rabbis, it's been a challenge. Some people with the rabbi, if the rabbi is very strict on certain things, then they say he can be accused of not really wanting to have a minyan that badly. And if he's a little lenient, then it's, you know, what about the health concerns? And so there really is going to be a lot of stuff after this is all done that I think we're going to have to just put behind us and move forward. And as we said in the Dvar Torah today, live in the day, because I think this has brought out a lot of amazing things in people, and it's brought out some challenging things in people also. And so as such, I think moving on, that's what we're going to do. But I really think the communities and certainly rabbis have really, really done their best, you know, in making this happen and trying to accommodate to one another, because there really are different ways of viewing, you know, the situation and different perspectives, and we all just have to communicate those to each other. And again, the rabbi's job. I heard Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger say this. You know, the importance of the rabbi really just being explaining his position with people, and people just continuing to have this connection, no matter what the case scenario is. Just everything should really be on the table, and we should work together as communities. And as much as we're doing it now, I think there'll be a challenge doing it afterwards, but I think we're all up for the challenge.
I think so too. But Rabbi Oppenheim, are you suggesting that two Jews, three opinions? Is it possible?
That's right. That's right. I would never utter such a thing, but yes, that's exactly right. So it's really, but in all seriousness now, this is something none of us have ever, you know, everybody says that we haven't seen it in our lifetime, but nobody, you know, we need to focus on, we've never seen these type of dynamics in synagogues in our lifetime with these these really are unique challenges of how to deal with it. Even people in the same school of thought with restrictions, but how should we implement them? And so it's really, but I'm happy to say here in Charlotte, the people have been really wonderful and in every aspect of it. And I believe it's happening in other communities in America also.
I think so, Tim. And I think when all the dust settles, I truly believe that everyone will find a way to get along. Certainly all the Yekis, and we've got another Yek on the call with me today. But Ravi Abinand, thank you so much for being on the call today and providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, and it truly is. As they are with all Klal Yisrael of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. May the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Unfortunately, once again, the speaker is not confirmed. I'm waiting for that confirmation message, but I apologize. I do not have that at this moment. But don't worry. We will be all set tomorrow at 1 o'clock. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.